Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Thursday, November 7th, 2013. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. WSU officials say stolen external hard drives might contain confidential information. Department of Energy official says only one single-walled high-level nuclear waste tank is leaking, and we'll have an interview with newly re-elected Moscow City Councilmember Walter Steed. That's all coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. An interagency grizzly bear subcommittee recommended today to take the giant bears off the endangered species list. The subcommittee plans to submit their recommendation to the full committee when it meets in Missoula next month. Grizzlies are listed as threatened in the greater Yellowstone ecosystem. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service stripped them of endangered species status in 2007, but a federal judge gave them threatened status after that because white bark pine trees are dying due to pine beetles. A plane that left McCall yesterday morning, heading for the Frank Church Wilderness of No Return, is missing. A pilot and two passengers were on board the Cessna 206 owned by Wilderness Aircraft in McCall. Idaho Army National Guard helicopter crews have detected the plane's emergency locator transmitter signal a few miles east of Donnelly. Snow and wind in the high country near there turned back ground searchers yesterday afternoon, and they had planned to continue their search this morning. State Senator Russ Fulcher of Meridian stopped in Lewiston yesterday on what he called a listening tour in advance of a possible run for governor against incumbent C.L. Butch Otter in next year's Republican primary. Fulcher is the chair of the Senate Republican Caucus, a former Micron executive and commercial real estate owner. Fulcher said he would expect his gubernatorial bid to bring unity to the conservative interests of the Republican Party, which he said are really fractured right now. Fulcher told a group of about a dozen people at the China Inn there are three critical issues on which he and the governor disagree, all of them related to his perception that Idaho is a dinghy tethered to a federal Titanic. If elected governor, Fulcher said he would disentangle the state from the Affordable Care Act and set up a state-based insurance exchange that relied on health savings accounts and was separate from the federal system. His platform also includes aggressive pursuit of state control of federal lands and natural resources, and he vowed to reduce the state's dependence on federal regulations and federal payments. Washington State University officials say they're unsure how much student and faculty data was compromised when some hard drives were stolen last month, but they have sent letters to over 300 students, employees, and former employees informing them data like birth dates and Social Security numbers may have fallen into the wrong hands. WSU News Services Assistant Director Bob Strenge said members of the Information Technology Department are working with law enforcement to figure out what information was on the two external hard drives taken from an office in the School of Biological Sciences in Abelson Hall. According to WSU Assistant Police Chief Steve Hansen, if all security protocols for encrypting sensitive information were followed, the information on the drive should remain secure. The letters that were mailed out yesterday suggest recipients monitor their financial accounts and credit reports to watch for signs of identity theft. A U.S. Department of Energy spokesperson said yesterday, out of the 20 single-walled underground nuclear waste tanks suspected to be leaking at Hanford, only one of them is actually leaking. The Department of Energy said that tank, known as T-111, appears to be stabilizing. 67 tanks were suspected of leaking in the past, but now the agency says the loss of fluid in all but one of those tanks is due to evaporation. A Washington initiative to raise the minimum wage to $15 per hour in the small Seattle suburb of SeaTac, the city containing the Seattle-Tacoma International Airport continues to lead by a narrow margin as votes are counted. Yes votes were at 53% yesterday, but because of the small population of the area, that's only a margin of a few hundred votes. Since Washington voters vote by mail and ballots, which are postmarked on Tuesday night, continue to come in, the results of the initiative remain too close to call. Walter Steed was reelected to the Moscow City Council Tuesday, coming in third out of four candidates running. The three winners were Planning and Zoning Commission Chair Art Betke, who had 3,399 votes, former City Council member John Weber, who had 2,826 votes, and incumbent Walter Steed, who had 2,739 votes. Rebecca Rod came in fourth with 2,385 votes. I spoke with Walter Steed this afternoon.
This will be my third term. I was originally elected to a two-year term, followed by the just now completing in December four-year term, and have been reelected for another four-year term. So all things being equal, I will serve cumulative 10 years on the Moscow City Council.
So some of your colleagues who are similar in political positions also won. John Weber and Bill Lambert, I would say. To what do you attribute the outcome of this year's city elections?
Quite possibly the fact that Rebecca was unknown. She didn't have any real background in city commissions or anything like that, had not served on planning and zoning or transportation or anything. And that's a hard hill to overcome when you're just running for the first time.
What are your thoughts on the results of the election for mayor?
I'm pleased. I was hoping that Bill would win. I am probably quite surprised at the size of his margin in winning, I'm glad to see it. I think it was time for a change.
Now, some of the other candidates I've contacted since the election think the timing of the Greater Moscow Association GMA study that they commissioned by economist Peterson, that was released in early October, had an impact on the outcome of this election. What are your thoughts on that?
I suspect that it did. I know that Nancy did her best to show what she's attempted to do and done in terms of any economic development in Moscow. The problem is that to talk about Legacy Crossing as if construction is going to start tomorrow, or talk about the Southeast Moscow Industrial District as if construction is going to start in 2014, neither are realistic. They're both still a long way out there. The Southeast Moscow Southeast Moscow Industrial District is not even platted yet. There's been nothing done with it other than attempting to see if it's a possibility to make some changes to adjust the floodplain area down there.
So what changes can people expect in Moscow with the new city council and new mayor?
Well, you're asking one of six who has to get three people to agree with him. But from my perspective, I plan to follow up on the emphasis of the campaign with economic development. I want to talk to staff. I want to talk to developers. I want to talk to anybody that I can regarding what, if any, impediments we have to development, what the perceptions are or what the realities are. I'm not going to guarantee anybody that just because they say we need to change this or that, I'd vote for it. But I do want to look at them and see if there's anything we can do that make people that wish to invest their money in Moscow more interested and ready to do so.
Okay. One question that's come up is the fact that now all seven elected officials for the city of Moscow are male. What are your thoughts on that?
I think you're right, now that I think about it. You need to have ladies step up, women step up, and run for office. There needs to be, you know, there are some females on the various commissions. My answer a few minutes ago about Rebecca's uphill climb not being known would give them a leg up should they wish to run for council. I do not think it would have been a good idea to vote for someone just because they're female. I find that people that you know talk about qualifications for office, etc. I just find saying because I'm male or because I'm female to be not a real good answer. But a qualified female, absolutely. Sue Scott's done a great job.
All right. Any other thoughts you have on this year's election?
Only that there will be some changes. I suspect a lot of them will be cosmetic. Bill intends, from my understanding, to stay in Moscow, to not be going to National League of Cities meetings in New York City or Seattle or to the White House to introduce the First Lady, but to stay and work and try to do as best he can for the city of Moscow. So I think there will be that kind of change. I'm just not sure yet what the others are, but I've already said that I have an interest in looking at our permitting. I said during the campaign I wanted to look at the zoning in Alturas, take a look at Legacy Crossing and see what we can do to make it attractive to people to invest their money in it.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time, and we'll be talking to you later, I'm sure.
And you've got to have one more answer, though, Lee.
Okay.
That is the fact that being reelected will keep me on as chair of the steering committee for the beautification of the entrances to Moscow. And I think that, too, can help us all if we can get something accomplished there. We've got money in the budget to get the projects picked and get them designed, but we'll have to find the money to be able to do the work. But I think that will help Moscow attract people that want to build here. It'll attract people that want to live here, and it will attract students here when they come to town with their parents saying, I want to go to the University of Idaho, and the parents say, well, I've never been to Moscow, let's go look at it. I think that can only help. So I appreciate it if you could work that in. And again, your questions are always insightful.
That was reelected Moscow City Councilmember Walter Steed speaking with me this afternoon. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service, 100% chance of showers and possibly a thunderstorm tonight, low 35, breezy southwest winds 15 to 25, gusts up to 45 miles per hour, 30% chance of rain tomorrow, mostly cloudy, high 42, west winds 15 to 20, gusts up to 25, 20% chance of showers Friday night, mostly cloudy, low 31, 30% chance of rain Saturday, mainly late in the afternoon, otherwise cloudy, high 46, 70% chance of rain on Saturday night, mostly after 10 p.m., cloudy, low 37, and a 60% chance of rain on Sunday, mainly before 10 a.m. Currently 42 degrees and overcast at the Pullman Moscow Regional Airport. Coming up next, we have Talk Nation Radio, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio, and then Shy DJ Motormouth coming up at 7:30, Jazz with Alan Solon coming up at 8:30, and Heavy Music with Confinement Loaf coming up at 10 p.m. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on Radio Free Moscow, be sure to become a member of Radio Free Moscow. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the Radio Free Moscow website to find out more ways to help Radio Free Moscow. I'm Lee Robartis. Nancy Casey assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant evening. This is KRFP Moscow, 90.3 on your FM dial, broadcasting from high atop Paradise Ridge now.